Welcome everybody to 2019 and brand new episode of Hip Hop Soiree. First one of 2019. I'm excited to be back. We've been racking our brains to, you know, get a schedule basically of what we want to talk about. It's still in the works, but we're bringing to you the latest stuff we want to talk about. So let's introduce ourselves. As always, you have me, DJ Goose.
And this is Poppy.
And we're the ones bringing you all the hip hop from Utah. All the latest stories, album reviews, whatever it is you want to talk to, whatever it is that we want to talk about hip hop, we're going to talk about it in this podcast. And most of our episodes have been reviews or something song related, obviously, because we're talking about hip hop. But we obviously know that there's another side of hip hop where these rappers, producers, they want to be entrepreneurs, they want to be involved in all this other stuff to make money or to be more, you know, legit. And they have tons of blunders in that department. And while, you know, they're like what Poppy was talking, we're talking about off air, we could go forever about their actual like misconducts, about all their gang related stuff that they've done, how they've come up with. Because I guess that's just like a lot of people come up from that environment. You know, I'm not trying to say that, you know, but that's just where they're from, just how it is. But we want to talk about stuff actually they've gone into the game. They've had money and they've tried to either invest or try and do something new, and it just tanked. Like they just, and we also want to talk about a little thing about update about, we talked about last episode about Juice WRLD and some other stuff about ripping people off and not going through legal processes to get your songs out. So, Poppy, let's start with you because you had some what you wanted to talk about, because there's a few recent stuff that happened with some rappers or quote R&B artists.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that have happened recently, and some of them have kind of either reemerged, but I'll kind of talk more on Juice WRLD. Last time I had mentioned that he had a song. It's called Lucid Dreams. It's really well known. It samples Sting, who's an older artist back, I think in 1993 is when the song released, Shape of My Heart. It's a little guitar riff, and it's kind of like descends, and that's what the sample was. Nas has used it legally, so, you know, Sting allowed him to use it. He allowed Tory Lanez to use it. But Juice WRLD didn't get the permission from him. So now Sting is literally raking in 85% of all royalties from that song, meaning Juice WRLD's only getting 15%. Juice WRLD, I guess, had gone on. I don't know if this was on a tweet, but he mentioned that it was amazing that someone that iconic had mentioned that he actually likes the song. And because the song touched so many people in such a good way, that it's not really a loss for him because he can always make money elsewhere, which is, I guess, a mature way to look at it coming from him. But his producer wasn't very happy, and he was calling out Sting and telling everyone to put like a fuck you on his Twitter account.
Which makes no sense. Like, he's the one that came out. Like, he produced the song himself. He wrote it. And artists before him, like you said, Nas, asked permission from him. I'd have to search it more, but I don't believe that he asked for or even got royalties from Nas's single.
As far as I'm concerned, he didn't.
I don't think
Nas just said, can I use it? He said yes. No royalties were involved, just the mere permission to use the specific beat.
Right, and that's all the producer had to do.
Like, yeah.
Juice WRLD may not have actually been involved in the picking of the song or the sample, which is fine. That's understandable. But, and maybe that's why he's like, you know what?
Yeah, it's so fine. Be it.
Yeah, so be it.
Cut his losses.
Yeah, but the producer, like, going out and trying to attack Sting, like, that's unprofessional. That's stupid.
Agreed.
Like, you did something wrong. You could have just asked, and he probably would have been fine, whatever. Like, I've already made, you know, tens of millions of dollars with that song. What's a little sample, you know, to let him use it? Like, it brings back memories of a Vanilla Ice. I think everyone remembers when he came out with Ice Ice Baby. I mean, first of all, he was like a big rapper who was white, which was a big thing. But the other problem was that he had a beat from Queen that he tried to justify wasn't the same beat. And it was all due to a hit of a hi-hat. And he's like, and in the interview, he's like, you know, the Queen song, Bohemian Rhapsody goes, dun 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 dun, not down Bohemian Rhapsody, sorry, Under Pressure. He's like, it goes, dun 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 dun. Dun 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 dun, and he goes, but mine goes dun 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 dun. That was a justification. To this day, I've seen that interview a few times, and I just can't understand how he thought that was enough difference to be like, yeah, I don't have to, I don't
no copyright issues, yeah,
no copyright, I don't owe Queen anything. Like, is some sort of delusion that you have to have. And actually, speaking of delusion, you have to segue into this, into something that happened a few days ago. So for those of you who watched the Breakfast Club, you know that Soulja Boy was featured on there. And I was at a loss of words.
Oh, before we get into the other thing I wanted to kind of segue with.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
So with Juice WRLD, the fact that he had that issue and is now not getting 85% of royalties because they are going to Sting, he is now facing another possible lawsuit from a 16-year-old beat maker. I guess he lives in Colorado, and he made a song, the beat, I guess it's called Ice, which is now the basis for Juice WRLD's song that's called Lean With Me, that released on his album last year. And yeah, it's another case of you borrowed or sampled something, which is, I think, inherently fine.
Yeah.
Go through the legal processes so you don't get into this. And again, because he is the artist, the rapper, so to speak, maybe he wasn't involved in the entire production process. So as you mentioned, probably goes back to his beat maker, whoever his beat maker is. I think they mentioned the beat maker's name, Nick Mira. Yeah, he's the same guy that produced Lucid Dreams, and he's the one that also made the Lean With Me song.
Yeah.
But his beat, again, is sampling the 16-year-old kids. I think it's Fly Jix, J-X-Y. I don't know how to pronounce that. It's a weird name. Jixie? I don't know. Either way, come on. Just ask the kid for permission. I'm sure he's a 16-year-old kid. Knowing that such a prolific artist wanted to sample his beat, he probably would have taken it for smaller amounts of money.
Yeah.
He wins, you win. It's whatever.
And so, a credit that they would have made to him, be like, yeah, that gets his name out there.
Exactly. So
it's funny because like I have a friend who lives in color, and his younger brother actually does produce music and beats. It's funny because he does it for like, I think he takes My Little Pony songs or something like that, and he makes like beats out of them.
Okay.
It's actually pretty cool. But for whenever, I thought it was that guy, but it's not. I think he's much older. But anyway, so
back to delusion, man.
Back to delusion. These guys are
Breakfast Club.
Yeah, Breakfast Club. So first of all, like Breakfast Club, they have actually like good. Some of the times they have a good discussions with, but it's dependent on the artist who's there. You know, regardless of how I feel about Charlamagne, because I don't like Charlamagne that much anyway. But they also have controversial artists, and this one's not controversial, but this one's just complete. Has no idea what he's talking about and believes that he is still on top of the game. And again, like we talked about, there's a Soulja Boy. And, you know, he comes on and he honestly believes that he had the biggest comeback in 2018. And go listen to The Breakfast Club and listen to this guy, because I'm speechless. I don't understand how he thinks he's still up there and that he had a comeback. I don't think he even believes he understands what comeback means. Because Charlamagne goes on there and he's like, you know, comeback means like you were in a dark place or you were down and then you rose up above what people expected. And Soulja Boy can't even say like, no, I was never down. So they're like,
then how do you make a comeback if you were
like,
never down?
It's like you can't really, there's no conversation that was going on there. And, you know, he's been trying to be an entrepreneur in Source, because his music career didn't last that long. It was maybe 2 or 3 years at max. And so now, if you heard, like he tried to do his own console, which he also spoke about on The Breakfast Club. But this thing, like, first of all, I don't think a lot of people even have it. I think I only saw maybe 2 people on YouTube who actually reviewed the game. And this had, he was saying, like, this is 4K. This has like 100 games. It's not 4K. I think it runs at like 480 at best. And these are all like games, like these are ROMs. So in the interview, he specifically says like, I got the rights to it. I'm like, no, you don't. Nintendo's not going to put their stuff onto your console. And he mixed like Nintendo, Sega, and PlayStation stuff on here, which again, it's not HD. It looks like an Xbox with a controller of
that looks like a PlayStation.
A PlayStation, but has games from Nintendo. Granted, it has like some PlayStation games on there as well. And the funny thing though, kind of offset to it, is when I saw the review of the actual console, the guy who was reviewing it said that the actual ROM that Soulja Boy has for Zappo Crash Bandicoot is a better ROM than what they have on the Sony official PlayStation Classic, which I thought was hilarious. Ugh. But like, you could see like the frame rates dropping down. You could see it tearing as well. Like it was just, and he's still saying like, he's like, people, like, we had 200,000 like, orders on this. We had to stop production or do something, like, take it off the website. And he kept saying, like, you know, now we have this new website, like soldierwatch.com, and you can see the 2.0 version of the console. And he keeps calling it video game. He's like, this is a video game. Like, it's a console.
I put out this video game, but yeah, it's not a video game. It's a full-on console. The video game's the one specific ROM that you play.
Yeah.
But whatever. His delusionment surprised me. I've seen some delusional people, but he was something else. Like, he believed everything. He was jangling his chains. He had like 8 chains on, but they sounded like plastic. They sounded like plastic. Okay. And he sat there and tried calling out DJ Envy, because DJ Envy had like 2, which you could tell were like carat gold. They're smaller, thinner chains, probably real.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, those are fake. Those are too little. You don't even know. And he just has the big ones on. You can tell they were like Gen X clothing, jewelry. Yeah.
He also like made the most ridiculous statements I've ever heard. Like, he said, like, you know, I found Lil Yachty, I found Migos, I found all these other rappers, saying like, I found them, I flew them to LA, I flew them here so they could get started. And they all keep asking, well, like, why aren't you signed? He's like, that wasn't my job, that wasn't me. Like, now that I understand it, now I can get people on my label, but I wasn't ready for that. Like, you can't claim that you found this person. Like, maybe, okay, if you flew him out, fine, whatever. But credit's not going to go to you for flying him out. There's credit for whoever signs them, whoever gets them, their names and their songs out there in the world. And he just could not stop taking credit for them and kept on bashing Drake the entire time. Yeah.
I hate using the term, but that clout chasing, right?
Yeah.
He just figures it's his way of getting back in and getting fame. So I don't know if he's trolling to the extent or if he's that delusional. Maybe it's a mix of both. But I'm hoping that everyone rips him a new one. I love hip hop beef. That's always been told on this particular podcast.
Yeah.
Not that he would do anything back to him, but I just want to hear some good diss tracks against him.
I think he came out with a song a few days ago, too. I think it was called like
New Drip or something like that. Drip. I refuse to listen to it, to be 100% honest. I will not support it.
If you pay us money, and if we ever start Patreon,
if he flies us out to LA, and he signs us,
if we started Patreon and PO pays enough, we'd have to review it and be like, okay, this is how bad this sucks.
Oh man, so what else did he? Oh, he taught his claim to abortion, like being a dad.
Yeah, so this is the weirdest one. So he posted a picture up, I think it was on Instagram, where he talks on the Breakfast Club, where he said, I'm going to be a dad. So, I mean, like, he's happy about what's going on. And people were posting and saying, like, dude, this is fake. This is not a real sonogram. And he goes to the girl. He's like, why did you give me this fake? This is fake. Why would I give you money for an abortion? And they're like, wait, you just said you're going to be a dad. He's like, how are you going to be a dad if the girl was asking you to pay for an abortion? And he
goes, because I fucked her.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay, I understand that. You got her pregnant, if it was, but I guess that was a lie. He didn't understand that getting abortion would completely neglect the fact that he was going to be a father.
He wouldn't be one.
Yeah, because it would have died.
Yeah. I mean, this is a whole new type of delusion. Like, you've seen other rappers do it. I mean, you see them. You've seen other rappers. I've seen Kanye, like, try to justify himself on tons of things. With Sway, with anyone, whoever.
Yep.
This takes the cake. I mean, Kanye may be more emotional, but
Soulja Boy's things have some reasoning where you're like, okay, I can kind of see where he's coming from.
Yeah.
But Soulja Boy's just blatantly stupid.
Yeah. He even went to Charmaine. He's like, look at my phone. He's like, how much did I make yesterday? How much? He's like, $230,000. And I was like, I don't know why he's pulling this thing up. And Charlaine was joking. He's like, but this is a Google picture.
This is a Google pic.
And Soulja was like, no, it ain't. And Charlaine, he just does his stuff for entertainment. He's like, no, I'm just kidding, man. Just kidding, man. Just kind of egging Soulja Boy on with all his claims. And it's interesting because, you know, he did have his spot in the limelight. You know, he got huge. He made some claims.
He was hot for like 2 years. That was it.
Yeah. And his claim of making like a dance hip hop song was true. And it did blow up on YouTube when it came out, because a lot of people wanted to do that dance. And that is 100% true. But aside from that, like, nothing really big came out from him. Like, he didn't produce anything great. I can't remember.
I think he only has three songs that I recognize. One, and even then, only one I only care for the dance, specifically being Crank That.
What was the other one? He goes like,
Kiss Me Through the Phone, and then the other one was Yeah, Bitch.
Yeah, was it? Yeah, was it, Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the only one I know. Yeah, okay. Bitch, yeah. It's a stupid song. Like, all of them are actually stupid.
Yeah.
But Crank That, I mean, I get the appeal. It's fun to dance to, kind of sing to a little bit. I liked it, but...
The funny thing, though, was that his whole argument was like, he was, again, attacking Drake. He's like, Drake admitted that he had ghostwriters. He was like, I wrote Crank That. Every line, I wrote Crank That. I just keep thinking, like, how is that, like, why would you say that? Like, it's not, I don't, like, the lyrics aren't great. They're
not
just
an impressive song lyrically. Yeah.
I mean, it's like the Whip Nene song. Like, it's nothing great. It's just telling you what to do in the dance.
I'm glad you got to write that, but
yeah,
cool.
I mean, you got big on that. I mean, you took hip-hop in a different way, which is, like, more commercial, which is more, instead of, like, talking about the upcomings or hardships or money and sex and all that, you talk about just doing a dance, basically. And a lot of people, he did take heat from that, which I understand, because people don't want, they thought they didn't want that. Now, it's a very regular thing. And so, like, there's some stuff I'd be like, I understand some parts of you, but you're trying to make it like you're, like, the next, like, dawn of hip-hop. And you can't, no, you can't.
He hasn't done it. He has no accolades to claim any sort of status he claimed during that. I only watched about 10 to 15 minutes of it, and that was more than enough for me. I said, this is not even a good interview.
No.
Not good at all.
And it just sounded like they were trying to, like, grab at nails or straws or something, threads, to try and get some sort of coherent
response
from Soulja Boy, and it just didn't happen.
No, the guy is just delusional, lying. And again, I don't know if it's grade A trolling. I feel like I can spot trolling really well because people that troll are actually pretty smart.
Yeah.
I literally just think he's stupid.
Yeah, no. He thinks he makes tons of money. He thinks he's on top of the world, and he's not. And he just needs to stop. I mean, like I said, if he wants to try other things like his console, go right ahead. But you're going to get knocked down by Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft. It's just not going to happen. And he keeps saying that they are not touching him, that he has, I guess he has rights or something, but he couldn't talk about it because his lawyer said he can't talk about it when he was on the Breakfast Club. But
his lawyer is probably a friend of his that went to law school for probably like 2.5 years or something.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much.
It's my guess.
Yeah. And I guess like his the focus that on there were many things, but the one that I thought was hilarious was console, because he's been in constant legal issues with that. And it's just a huge blunder that he doesn't want to take credit for. Going on that, like it's going on with that, with different blunders that rappers have had, whether it's with music. But again, we want to focus more on the other stuff they've done with music. One that comes to mind for me is Ja Rule.
Oh, man.
What was it, 2 years ago?
I think it was two.
2 years ago. You remember Ja Rule came up and he was promoting this huge music festival that he was going to have on this island. He was having all these lineups, huge names of different genres, and he was saying, we're going to have suites for everyone. It's going to be personal. It's going to be the best thing ever. And people went there, and it was really hot. I don't think there was even running water.
No, I don't think there was any sort of plumbage, or there's no
nothing.
Plumbing at all. It's literally like two-man tents pitched on a field of nothing but dry grass. As you mentioned, it was super hot, sweltering, so no one can take a shower because, again, no running water. There wasn't, like, any restaurants, any place for people to get food. It was a shit show event, and I believe that one of the organizers got convicted for wire fraud. Even Netflix and Hulu actually put out some documentaries recently about, I think it's Fire Festival, F-Y-R-E Festival.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And I believe that was in 2017. So, yeah, it's ridiculous. And I think even didn't Ja Rule take to Twitter saying, I like how people watch a documentary and think they have all of the answers and know everything there is about it. Yeah, you screwed some people over.
Yeah, you didn't give them refunds. People that were headliners, or, you know, quote unquote headliners, never agreed to anything. So that's what they didn't show. Like, I don't know if you're expecting, like, saying, hey, I mean, this person would never come. Like, hey, 50 Cent's coming, if he was, you know, relevant. 50 Cent A wouldn't come, but if no one contacted him or made a contract with him, because obviously these artists want to be paid for performing, and that just wasn't the case. They didn't do anything like that, and I don't know. Did they ever, like, take the money from him? Or
I don't know. Maybe I should watch the documentary. I'm not well read on this. My understanding, at least when it, like, no one got anything.
Okay.
They just paid and shit out of luck. That was it. That's why it was such a big deal. But I mean, we all know these legal cases can take forever. I don't know if there is any legal cases open for them, but even if there was, it would probably still take years for them to resolve it.
Right.
Even though it's kind of pretty apparent, I don't see why we'd waste so many tax dollars on it, which is a whole other story. But kind of like what you mentioned, though, just how 50 Cent, who's arguably one of the biggest trolls, did last year, how he bought, how many rows? Was it like 4 or 5 rows?
Yeah, something like that.
Front row tickets to a Ja Rule concert so that nobody could sit in those front rows. Like, as petty as 50 was, Ja Rule kind of deserves it.
And what was funny is, like, it took a hit because we know that artists don't make the money from the ticket sales. It's from the merchandise. And so there's
the tours and stuff, yeah.
$100, $200 that, or 100, 200 people that could have been there buying merchandise. I don't know why it would buy Ja Rule merchandise anyway, but the fact that that possibility was gone. And he said he deserves it. Like, there's no... I don't know how he's still, like, able to show his face in front of people. I don't know
how. Yeah, how have people not, like, roughed him up or something?
Yeah, I would have.
Or socially crucified him. I mean, I guess he's kind of getting socially crucified now, but still.
He's like, socially crucified for blood in my eye. That's album sucked. Yeah,
just ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
There was one more. You talked about it. It happened, I think, yesterday?
It happened yesterday. So,
yeah, so on the 19th of January, as of this recording. Okay.
Yep, 19th of January. Erykah Badu, who, she's made her name for herself. She ties into hip-hop because she's made hip-hop songs. She used to be married to Outkast's Andre 3000. And if you don't know who Andre 3000 is or Outkast, do yourself a favor and just look them up. You may not like their music, but you deserve to know what they're like. They have phenomenal music. Anyways, she's his ex-wife, and that's kind of how she ties into it. But everyone by now probably has heard of the R. Kelly accusations. And I guess not even accusations at this point. There's proof that he's run like this little sex cult. He's basically enslaved these women to have sex with him, many of them underage. And even if not, it's absurd. It's ridiculous. He's a rapist, pedophile, and there's a bunch of artists speaking out against him. Well, on the flip side, Erykah Badu, during her concert last night, I guess to a couple concert goers, have said that she actually defended him. And then she, I guess, jumped onto the media platform to mention, I pulled it up right here. It says, "I love you unconditionally. That doesn't mean I support your poor choices. I want healing for you and anyone you have hurt as a result of you being hurt. Is that strange to you? That's all I've ever said. Anything else has been fabricated or taken out of context. -EB for Erykah Badu." So still, several concert goers just are like besides themselves saying, what if one of the people who was assaulted by R. Kelly becomes an offender? Are we going to crucify them as well? It's just this odd thing. And she's kind of coming from a standpoint of you want to love people. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you agree with their choices, but you still want to side with them and let them know they're loved. And the man has raped many people and is a pedophile. And that's kind of inexcusable in many eyes, including myself. So it's weird. It's just more than poor choices, eating fried foods every day, poor choices, breaking it. There's all these people going back and forth with her, and all she does is keeps reposting, "I love you, unconditionally." Doesn't mean I support for the poor choices. It's and she eventually, I don't know if this is, here, let me pull up I read this on Hip Hop DX, which is a good place to get like some news because they follow artists pretty closely. She eventually also made some sort of, here you go, she stirred up controversy after she appeared to express sympathy for Adolf Hitler, XXXTentacion, and Bill Cosby.
Here's the thing, though. Okay, for when you were talking about, for whatever reason, I kept thinking that, again, we talked about the whole delusional thing. Like, I don't know how they would get to this point. Like, why would you sympathize for Adolf Hitler? Like, he was known...
genocide.
Irony, yeah, he's known for genocide. The irony is that he was promoting this pure race, which he wasn't even included because he didn't fit the description that he wanted.
Yeah.
Like, tons of holes in his philosophy and everything. And obviously, Bill Cosby did illegal things. He drugged women and raped them. Like,
inherently terrible.
Yeah, and terrible. Doesn't matter what he's done in his career as an actor. Like, this is terrible, and we should not support that action and that person because he'd been doing it his entire life. R. Kelly, since way before, has had some sort of fetish for younger women.
Yeah, he had that video of the 14-year-old girl where he pisses on her.
Yep.
Like, if people think that is not a joke. That is a real thing.
He sang about, like, loving Aaliyah, like what, in the 90s? It's just bad. He's a terrible person. And I get it, like, where I get some little thing where, like, you know, some family will always stand by you for whatever reason, you know, through thick and thin, even if you did terrible things. And maybe it could have been looked at that way, but once she started saying, like, oh, I sympathize with Hitler, like, oh, no, you've lost all credit. Get out of there.
Why would you sympathize with Hitler? Why?
Yeah.
It's beyond me. But she's out of her mind. If you look at pictures of her, she is just, she's batshit crazy. You can tell. There's not something, she's completely just fucked up in the mind. But
yeah, that's what's happening now. Everyone's just having these delusions that they need to get help, but they don't want to admit that they have issues.
Yeah. And again, I knew, at least when she was mentioning loving someone still, even despite poor choices, like, it takes a special person to admit, no, they still deserve some sort of love, but you still have to pay for your consequences, quite frankly.
Right.
And it seemed like she was just kind of dismissing, okay, he'll just make better choices, he should move on. But no, many lives were ruined, and that needs to, something needs to happen for it.
Yeah, no, and it's completely understandable on that. It's funny, I wish that there were, like, better examples of, like, people taking better stance on things like this, but you always have that one person be like, that goes against the grain, against everything, and it just
fucks it up for everybody.
Yeah, everyone. And it's just, I gotta stop talking about it. It's gonna make me mad. I'm scratching myself because I'm getting so pissed off.
He's really anxious and kind of upset, but it interesting controversy. And all of them have some sort of controversy at some point, but those are just, I guess, some off-the-wall controversies. Not your typical, oh, they were charged with drugs, /murder, /rape. These are just interesting stands. Again, here's this guy who makes an illegal emulator of sorts, being Soldier Boy, and telling him, no, it's authentic, it's real, it's good, they're all credited, that he got permission from Sony for the PlayStation, from Nintendo. No, you didn't.
Him claiming that it was Chris Brown that didn't want to fight him.
Yeah, oh yeah, he mentioned that Chris Brown didn't want to fight him when, well, how long ago was that?
Oh, it was years ago. I don't even remember, because I remember before they used to have, like, these boxing matches with, like, not old, but celebrities that are no longer relevant.
Yeah.
They used to have something like that, and so I remember that Soulja Boy was mentioned and Chris Brown was, but that never aired, and now he's explaining why. I was like, well, I signed it, I was ready, and he's even talking like Mayweather was going to help him and pay him $7 million to fight Chris Brown, that Chris Brown
Yeah, because he was first offered like 2.5 mil or something like that.
I think it was a million, and he's like, that's not enough.
Yeah.
Like, bull crap, you don't make that much. Yeah. That's a good thing for you.
Yeah.
Take it.
It's good for most people.
Yeah.
Most people would sign a one-time deal for $1 million. It's ridiculous about all this. Just these people.
Yeah.
It's funny to see just kind of these odd and then the guy, again, Ja Rule, the fact that he set up this festival that was nothing but a pure joke. And he's, like, trying to justify himself and saying people need to leave him alone.
Give him the money back. Then they'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
But whatever. I mean, we can go on for tons, and I think these are good ones for now. What we want to give to you is a little, guideline of what we're going to be talking about this year. I want to go over, like, the best hip-hop songs per year since it came out. One thing I thought was going to be good was controversial awards, meaning groups or artists who won an award that
P. Diddy shouldn't have won a Grammy. I'm saying that right now.
Grammy. The controversy over when Outkast won, I think it was Best Hip Hop Artist or Newest Hip Hop Artist at the BET Awards, or I can't remember, it was MTV, and it was during when there was like East Side and West Side, and they won. They're not neither, and they got ton. That was a huge controversial thing. It shouldn't have been, but they got a lot of flack for that. And so just stuff like that we want to talk about. If you have anything you want us to talk about, I mean, we'll do album reviews as they come out, songs, any breaking news, stuff like that, but we want to kind of give you our opinions and stuff of earlier stuff all the way up to now to get you well-versed in hip-hop, because we talked about it before, has a very rich background, and that a lot of people either overlook or don't know about, and even now there's tons of great stuff happening. It's just it's clouded with a lot of crap. And I mean,
marketing is just, money is money, and they knew a specific genre or generation of people. I guess, you know, just the young people right now just don't want any sort of content. They just want good beats, something super catchy, which is exactly what's kind of out right now. People making claims, which is another thing. I should have looked it up. I believe there was a hip hop artist that said mumble rap will be dead by the end of 2019. I disagree. We'll be dead eventually. I don't think this year is the year that it'll die. We'll see.
I think it has a few more years. And again, we'll talk about the history of mumble rap as well, because it is something that a lot of people like right now. Regardless of how you feel about it, it is popular. And we can talk about who made it popular, how long it's actually been, because how long it's actually been in hip-hop is a lot longer than what you think of when it actually became.
Yeah, mumble rap has been around for longer than most people even realize.
Yeah. Or a type of mumble rap has been on there, been here for a long time. But again, we'll do the research. We'll get you everything. Again, we have that one request to do to talk about Korean rap.
And
that's going to take a little bit for us to go, because again, we're going into unknown language and just basically going off their flow, going off their
beat production.
And again, we're going to have to translate some silver fine translations of it, because I like Japanese music, and the way that they write is very, and the way that they express and describe in their lyrics is very different than the US. Again, it could be because of the translation, but again, it's just very different.
Well, it would make sense, because you and I both speak Spanish. We know that certain sayings in Spanish hold much more weight behind them or significance. I think that I would imagine, speaking Spanish, that many other languages, English, I would say, is bland in essence, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just is. At least I view it that way. But which is why I tend to really like those that are poetic individuals, and regardless of the genre. But obviously, this is more about hip hop. So
right.
That'll be interesting. I'll have to pull up translations, read them. Some of them sounds great, but I don't know what they're saying. And
it could be.
It doesn't stop me from listening to them. I don't resonate with anything lyrically because I can't.
Yeah, and the irony is that you're a big, you know, your big focus is on lyrics.
Yeah.
And so, we'll get into that later this year. So thanks so much for listening. This is DJ Goose.
This is Poppy.
And this is Hip Hop Soiree.
Oh. Hey.